Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam International with me, Sister Faizan Munshi, on this beautiful Sunday morning with a few days to go before the month of Ramadan, alhamdulillah. Alright, so today is a very interesting program. Please excuse me if I have a bit of a croak in my throat. It seems I can't seem to get rid of it over the last 2 weeks. But inshallah, today's program is going to be an amazing and interesting one. Today is a panel discussion with my guests, which I'll introduce in a few minutes. But the topic itself may get people a little bit uncomfortable when we talk about the concept of a healthy Ramadan. I guess what a concept, right? To be talking about as Ramadan knocks at our doors, as for some listening may feel uncomfortable because, you know, the freezers are stacked to the top waiting for those delicious savories to be dunked in oil and eaten in the month of Ramadan. And I guess for this reason and the culture that we have in South Africa around Ramadan, as well as the foods we eat and the view on Ramadan that we have, we needed to look at the concept of a healthy Ramadan before the month came along, right? We've got a few days. We've got some planning that we can still do for the month of Ramadan. For those of you who are feeling a bit uncomfortable because you're not planning to change how you eat or what you eat, I suggest you listen anyway because that's not all we're going to be speaking about today, inshallah. What we will be speaking about today as well during the program is looking at Ramadan from a spiritual as well as a time management perspective. So the idea of today's program is going to be a panel between the three of us, myself, our very well-known Hafidha Rehana Umar. She's a well-known voice to Radio Islam, a presenter on Radio Islam. And she'll be speaking to us very much on the aspect of enlightening us about the aspect of becoming spiritually ready for the month of Ramadan. And also that issue of time management. You know, how do we manage our time during this month, which I think is so utterly important, especially with the days being so short. And so we're going to definitely pick Hafidha Rehana's brain on this topic. And also, we're going to be get everyone thinking about the way we eat, you know, and that perspective is going to come from a sister who's had this journey of weight loss herself. It's always good to hear about something from someone who has experienced it themselves, right? They've had their own journey to health, and it's coming from a perspective that's very personal. So that's what we're going to be speaking about with Sister Sakina. And as the program goes, inshallah, the lines will be open, 011-854-1548. If you have any questions, if you have any input, please go ahead and call in, or you can WhatsApp 082-739-4147. That's 082-739-4147. What is your idea of going into Ramadan with a healthy mindset? What is your idea of going into Ramadan with a new mindset? Perhaps every single year has been the same issue of eating the same foods, feeling the same way, feeling lethargic, and not having time. Is there something you've decided to do differently this year? So I'd like to start off by introducing my guests, inshallah, on the line with us. And we've got Hafidha Rehana. Assalamu alaikum, Hafidha Rehana.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sister Faiza.
Wonderful having you on all the way from Malaysia, of course, on this topic. And I said we're definitely going to pick your brain quite a lot today on what you're going to be speaking about, because it's something that is right knocking on our doorstep, Ramadan, and we need to really, you know, I guess, get down and plan for it now.
Absolutely. I've just come out of a 7-hour coaching session for women here in Malaysia about getting ready for Ramadan. And like you said, it's so much more than just the routine or the everyday aspects of Ramadan. One Ramadan, the next feels just the same. So what are we going to do to make this that Ramadan to remember? And how do we bring the element of spirituality into our daily lives as busy, busy women?
Absolutely, and it's going to be interesting talking to you, especially coming out of that, Hafidha Rehana. And my other guest on the line, alhamdulillah, is Sister Sakina from Durban. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Sakina. Unfortunately, we seem to be having a bit of a problem with that line with Sister Sakina, so we're just going to try that line again. While we try that to get the line clear with Sister Sakina, let me just chat to Hafidha Rehana quickly. Hafidha Rehana, you mentioned that you've just come out of a 7-hour workshop.
Yeah, we've been talking about how to get our spiritually optimum lives ready for Ramadan. We've talked about much of the baggage many of us carry of past Ramadans. We may have experienced Ramadans that were physically very draining or tiring. We may have experienced Ramadan where there was a lot of heartache or pain in our lives. We may have had losses and gains. And to be able to reconcile all of this with the Ramadan we're facing and we're hoping to face in the next few days. So we spoke about that. We talked a bit about burnout and what that's all about. How do we overcome that burnout? And do we ever really overcome burnout? Or do we learn just to live with it and deal with it in Ramadan? So very realistic outlook on how to prepare for Ramadan. Even though we have a few days left, there's a lot that still can be done. And how to look forward to a Ramadan that brings you that change, not just for Ramadan, but well into the next year, I think, right? So it's so important that it's consistent, yeah?
Absolutely. And I'm hoping that I'm sure I'm going to take a lot from this myself as well. Let's just go back to Sister Sakina. Sister Sakina, are you on the line? Okay, that's much clearer. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Welcome to Radio Islam International, and we're definitely going to be having a conversation that may ruffle feathers a bit in terms of what we're going to be eating this Ramadan.
You mean in my
home? No, everyone's homes, because when it comes to the month of Ramadan, traditionally, we have a system in South Africa that we eat a particular way. And so today's program, we want to talk about moving away from that a little bit with you. And let's just start. I mean, I mentioned in the intro that you've had your own personal journey in terms of health and moving away from unhealthy foods and, going through a process of weight loss. But let's start with the physical side of Ramadan, right, Sakina? Why do you believe that the concept of healthy Ramadan is an important one? Why is this important to you?
Ramadan can be a natural and effective way for the body to detox and revitalize itself, but this can only follow if you follow a healthy eating plan and do not overindulge during the Seder and iftar time. So if you're eating healthy, your mind is going to be healthy, you will think more clearly, you'll be able to stay more focused throughout the day, and that will help with your spiritual side when reading Quran, with the concentration levels in Salah and Tarawih. And all the poor food choices would lead to weight gain in Ramadan and affect your energy levels. So the thing is that many of us, when we make bad food choices in Ramadan, it actually affects our daily work. Like we become less productive, we become sleepy in the day, we have mood swings, we're angry with our spouses, with our children. So if we just start changing the foods we eat, And actually eating more wholesome types of food at Seder, at iftar, we could help to eliminate all these issues.
It's almost like Ramadan for us as adults, sadly, the way we eat, it's almost like taking a child who hasn't eaten anything and then giving them a whole lot of sweets and see how they react to it.
Absolutely.
It's like giving them a whole lot of sweets, saying, now you need to behave well, and you need to go and stand in Tarawih prayer, you need to do your work now, So I know what you're saying is that what we put in is what we're going to get out of this month of Ramadan from a physical perspective. Rehana, when we look at this concept, I know you would have a definite view on why we need to actively look at this concept of a healthy Ramadan, right? But your perspective, Rehana, would be more from, as opposed to looking at the body, which I know you would agree that we need to, assimilate the two. But we're talking to you more about from the aspect of decluttering our minds for this month of Ramadan. We've got a few days, so as much as the physical health is important, I think more so we've got to inculcate the aspect of getting ready for a spiritual journey coming in Ramadan. After that, Hannah?
Absolutely. We say that hunger is the first element of self-discipline. That hunger is literally the first element of self-discipline, whether it's for adults, whether it's for young people or elderly people. So if hunger is our first element of self-discipline, that means that if we can control what we eat and drink, we can start controlling other things in our lives, meaning we can start creating meaningful changes in other aspects of our lives. But for as long as we continue to see Ramadan as, well, we just need to make sure that we're eating and we're eating well, and that eating well means, well, we eat whatever we like or we create a little party. That does affect our spiritual self. As Sister Sakina said, it affects how we pray, it affects how we think, it affects the quality of that ibadah that we have as well. And so much of our quality of ibadah weighs very heavily on what we choose to eat and drink. So when we think about it, the Quran tells us halal and tayyib, and it tells us halal, pure, but also wholesome foods. habits. And I think many of us along the lines, and as you rightly said, it's about ruffling some feathers and reminding us really what's our duty as Muslims to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then that amana to the body. One of the biggest issues that women have is, I feel sleepy when I'm reading Quran. So time, meaning, you know, sleep and that put aside, but often what is it that we're eating or drinking that's causing us to feel lethargic or feeling tired? If what we're eating is not loving us back as true Muslims, then that food will be something that's not a healing but a poison to our bodies, right? So much of that spiritual state goes back to, I'm feeling really tired. My mind is really foggy. I'm craving falooda and dessert.
Absolutely.
That's created to be that menu. But the mind is so powerful. So whatever we're feeding the body, the heart and mind will work in unison with that tummy and will crave those types of foods. So if we see this Ramadan to be a Ramadan that we want to remember, let's consider trying to make it one in which we choose to consciously feed our bodies and fulfill this amana with things that love us back.
You know, Sakina is in the program today so importantly because, like you're saying, what we feed our bodies physically is going to definitely impact on the spiritual side. And that's why it was so nice to have this three-way discussion about this, because it's one thing to be able to give yourself the right, try and get yourself spiritually ready. But like we're saying, I mean, if you're physically tired, you're not going to be able to do that work. And so, Sakina, when we come to this aspect of food, right, let's look at this food concept. Within the South African concept of what we eat. There's been this traditional way of eating within the month of Ramadan, which we don't have to explain. I think everybody understands what it's been like. So what is, in your view, now looking at a practical perspective, we can always talk about what's bad for us. We all know what's bad for us, right? As opposed to looking at what's bad for us, let's look practically in this program about what it is that will be good for us, beginning firstly with siri, which is one of the most important meals that we will be having in Ramadan.
Okay, firstly, we need to give our bodies what it needs. And what our body needs is nutrients. And so we have to eat foods that can actually sustain us throughout the day, keep you fuller for longer, and maintain good energy levels throughout your fast. So generally, like we say, traditionally we would eat, we normally eat like sugar types of cereals for siri, because they're easy, they're convenient, a slice of toast, bread, maybe fried eggs, or even roti and curries and the leftover savory from last night. And that's what's in our South African homes. But from my side, I would say, starting with siri, you need to consume a meal that is high in protein, that will actually help you to sustain better energy throughout the day and keep you fuller for longer. Your protein meals are like your chicken, fish, meat, eggs, nuts, and legumes. And then, I mean, obviously the reality is that, you know, many of us cannot eat a heavy meal in the morning, and there's too much time, it's too time consuming. You trying to make up for that Fajr Salah, you want to do some Quran reading in the morning, so you need something quick and easy but it has all the nutritional value in it. And for me, I found it easy over the years, is that I do for siri, I would do a rich protein shake that actually would help me sustain me throughout the day. And what I find is that a protein shake is, there's many well-marketed shakes that's out there, and they got good nutritional value, they got good calorie counts, and it's actually easy digest for your system. And the thing is that you need something that's quick and easy, and that won't make you uncomfortable and hungry in the day. And if you're eating a heavy meal in the morning, I mean, 3-4 hours later, you're having your digestion problems, and you're going to feel uncomfortable. You actually will feel hungry because you just had a heavy meal, and that oil grease that's from the chest is just not on. So my thing for siri is that get something that's light, but it has all the nutrients that your body needs to sustain you. And if you're not going to eat something like that, then you're going to suffer with your energy levels. You're going to suffer with, like we said earlier on, you're going to have mood swings, you're going to feel sleepy, you're going to be less productive in the day. So it's very, very important what you eat in the morning.
And I think it's also each one's responsibility in terms of what it is they feel will work for their bodies, right?
Yes.
I mean, you talk about a protein shake, the ones that you can get from stores, but you can also, if people are not keen on something that is store-bought, you can look at the idea of making your own, you know, with, you know, the whole idea of the new idea of fruit, veggies, almond butters, and that kind of mix. Now, the question I have is that it's a family, when it comes to Ramadan, it's not just an adult waking up, but it's families waking up for Siri. Moms have got a lot on their plate in terms of understanding how is it that I'm going to sustain my energy. But also we in a time in Saudi, the Ramadan is in such a time that our children are going to be going into the June exams and have madrasa imtihans, and they've got daily, they've got their school, they've got extramurals, whatever it might be during the day. How is it as a parent that we can ensure, as a mother, we can ensure that our children who are fasting have got the right nutrition to sustain them? For example, if the kids don't want to have something like, you know, I mean, the shakes are not something that the kids would enjoy. What is your suggestion for children? You know, what is it that we can give them to make sure that they sustain their energy as much as well?
See, Faiza, it's so important that the meal has to be balanced, whether we like it or not. We need proteins in our diet. And what would sustain a child is protein-based meals. I mean, giving your child a high-sugar cereal and stuff like that, it's not going to help your child. It's actually going to make their brains much more lazier throughout the day. So maybe do a protein, or maybe a fried, like a teaspoon of butter, spray and cook or something on your egg for your child, and maybe incorporate some fruits and vegetables in the morning, and I mean, maybe make it attractive for your child. I mean, they eat cereals on the market today, but you know, I'm not very supportive for these cereals because they're just not good for our kids.
Because you turn the box around,
because you turn
the box around, you read the label, and it's got more sugar than it has any other ingredient.
Exactly, and so, we think that we're actually giving our kids something good, like, you know, because we read the box, we think, oh no, it's high fiber, high nutrients, wow, and you know, it's been around for so many years, and if you think why our kids are sick and why our kids are having concentration problems, it's because we're feeding our kids these types of cereals. I mean, giving your child Cocoa Pops in the morning, it's not on. And I think some parents are forced to because kids are, they have moods. They don't want to eat just, I mean, giving kids them eggs in the morning, giving them a piece of meat or something. They're not going to like it. Or, I mean, some parents even go to the extent of doing Viennas and bolognese in the morning. Those are processed foods. So they're not good for your kids. You can probably do a good oatmeal, look for organic types of oatmeal that are on the market, do a porridge for them in that way. But also you need to cut up some fruits in the morning and give them maybe a banana, half a banana. That will actually help them and sustain them throughout the day.
Absolutely. Rehana, Sister Havila Rehana, I've got to ask this question. Traditionally, I mean, being from South Africa and having the kind of, you know, South African diet that we have, you've been in Malaysia for quite some time. Has being Malaysia evolved your diet in Ramadan? Has it changed the way you see food, the way you think, or have you just taken all our habits and moved over to Malaysia? I would love to know.
No way. You know, Suhail, before Malaysia, we were in Egypt and Jordan for some time. So it's been about 10 years almost that South Africa hasn't been our permanent base. And along that road, there was a lot of, you know, food evolution that happened and seeing food from a very different angle of what it's meant to be and how it's meant to serve us as servants of Allah, what it's meant to do for our bodies. So I can safely say I've never, ever made a samosa in my life. I don't know how to. I'm not interested in.
Oh,
and
goodness.
Look, when I visit my mom once a year, and that's fine when she spoils us for that short time that we're there. But my son doesn't know when I tell him, you know, that this is what's happening and the freezers are full. And he looks at me and he raises an eyebrow and he says, oh, what are they eating? I said that. He says, no, but that's not food, you know.
Yeah.
So, it's been a journey. There's lots of things that, you know, when you're in a different place, it's not so much about what you can find and can't find. There's a lot that's easily available here, alhamdulillah. But just that we've made that choice not to go down that route and not to make that the Ramadan food. A lot of what we eat, and especially I think with the climate, with the weather, the humidity levels are three times higher than Durban. So the body needs more fruits, it needs more fresh salads. So we literally would break as a family of three, break our fast with dates and water. And after that, the first thing we'd have is between quarter to half a watermelon and maybe a kilo of grapes. So that's the basis of our breaking of our fast. And then later on, when we're eating, it would be normal food. It would maybe be baked something, a baked casserole, a baked pie sometimes. But that's the furthest I'm going with savories. I mean, we do our dessert. We all have a sweet tooth, so we do that sometimes. But when it comes to food, maybe perhaps it's easier that I don't have that social pressure, maybe.
Yeah.
But to be honest, when I have spent Ramadans back home, I still had a raw fruit and vegetable breakfast. And I have been able to maintain. But I think it's again, what's our priority? And
absolutely.
Like as the quality of the fast. Mm. Do you want to compromise the quality of your spirituality, of your spiritual, of your faith, of your Quran, the quality of all of your ibadah? And what we eat, and that's who we become, right? Because that's the quality of our lives then.
You are what you eat, absolutely. On that note, we're going to take a bit of a break. When we come back, we'll talk more to Hafiza Rehana. We're going to talk about the aspects of time management, particularly within our short winter days here in South Africa, and also about, with Sister Sakina, about the mindset, you know. We've got a set mindset about what Ramadan is meant to be and how we meant to feed our families. Perhaps this may be, 2018 may be the year that we change things, or this Ramadan may be the year that we actually change around how we feed our families. And for the reasons that Rehana has mentioned, is because we are what we eat. And so if we are lethargic, we're missing the point of Ramadan. Time for a bit of break. When we come back, we'll talk more about these aspects of a healthy Ramadan. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Radio Islam International with me, Sister Faiza Munshi, on this beautiful Sunday morning, a few days to go before the month of Ramadan, inshallah. And we're looking at the concept of a healthy Ramadan, both from a physical perspective as well as a practical perspective. And we go on to the idea of the practical perspective now with Hafiza Rehana. Hannah, in terms of a practical perspective of Ramadan, you know, the aspect of time is a big one. And particularly now within the winter months in South Africa, somehow when the fast is that short, it almost feels like you're chasing time, you know, all day. And it seems quite challenging to be able to manage your time. Give us some advice and your wisdom on how to actually, because I know you manage time brilliantly, alhamdulillah. So give us some ideas on managing time in South Africa with the 12-hour fast and having to deal with everyday stuff, you know, school, madrasa, everything else that goes with it.
Right, absolutely. It's a journey we're all trying to figure out. Each Ramadan, I think, is so different. Even though the time changes a bit, there's something about it that, well, what can I do differently this Ramadan? So the first thing we want to do is look at three time slots or three key times that are absolutely important to our Ramadan time management. The one is the time just before suhoor. So if you can, depending on your schedule, if you can wake up just those few moments earlier, just to spend in some dua, that's a beautiful time, the time of tahajjud. It's a great way to get into that habit of tahajjud as well, and have those few moments for yourself before you get in the kitchen with everyone's orders of what they want and don't want for sehri. The other time, and this may be slightly challenging if you have young school-going kids, is the time just after Fajr Salah until the sun rises. So you may be on the road for school rounds, but that is an excellent, all on the way to work, but that's an excellent time to have your Surah Yaseen reading done, to read some of your dhikr of the morning, to listen to a short lecture, and to get your kids, if you're traveling with your kids or your Lyft Club friends, to get everyone involved in some reading and some dhikr at that time. And the third most precious time of the day is that time before Asr. And I think around after Asr, before Maghrib. So if we can just snatch out a few moments of that time, whether it's just before Maghrib or closer to Asr time, but try and find a few moments that you can snatch as that being your time. So these are three peak times. And with very busy schedules and with very short days in winter there, it may not be that easy. So one of the things to do is to really look at where you're spending most of your time. If you're at your office, if you're at the desk and you have the chance to engage with audio, then listening to Quran or a lecture can help tremendously. If you're on the road, you're doing school rounds, you're doing work rounds, and you're in the car for a lot of the time, create from now a playlist for yourself. So let those goals go from being abstract to being very, very solid. It's easy to say, I'm going to listen to Quran on my school rounds every afternoon or when fetching the kids after madrasa. But we know that won't happen if we don't really have a plan of action. So what's your plan? Do you have a playlist you're going to follow through? Is there a surah you're currently memorizing of Quran? Is there some dhikr you'd like to read just to calm yourself down before that evening iftar, taraweeh rush with the family? So find out what works for you, but use every moment you can. Another thing we find in recent years, and that's why we find such a lack of time, or we feel we just can't manage the time, or there's not enough time, is social media. If you're given, I asked a group of 20 ladies today, if you're given a chance where you've got half an hour and you can rest, or you can lie down, but scroll through your phone. Most of us would choose scrolling through the phone, lying down. But would your future self thank you? Meaning like later that evening when you're zombie-like, or the next morning when you'd feel, I just can't get up. It's the choices we make, whether it's our dietary choices, whether it's lifestyle choices. When we're making that conscious decision to say, I'm going to sit down with my phone and just scroll through. I need a bit of a break. But your mind, your body needs that break too. So if you were just to put that phone down for a while, maybe mute some of those notifications and just rest. If you can't sleep, just lie down. But make that part of your life, because that's the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to make taylula, to have that afternoon nap or rest time, or whenever you feel in the day, you can afford to do that. The other thing that you can do to manage your time is to catch up on your days. When you're not praying, catch up on those days for more dua, for more dhikr, for more istighfar. Use those days to get ready for Eid, to get the family things ready for Eid, to sort out anything else you need at work or at home. So when you're back reading again, you have that added advantage. Most importantly is for us to try and stay away from complaining about it. That time belongs to Allah. But at the end of the day, Allah's given us that certain amount of time to make the most of it. We may not be able to do as much ibadah we feel as we could in a summer day, but how can you, and here's the perfect thing, to multitask. We're so used to doing that. But how can we start multitasking in a different way? Where we're doing something, but at the same time, there's a little bit of ibadah going around in our lives. Ultimately, we want to really prioritize the Ramadan. It's a month like no other. So what are the things that I really need to do every day, and where can I cut back? So we're often committed to so many things, and we feel we'll manage it all in Ramadan. There's so much of barakah in time. That's true, but before we know it, the month will be over. And we'll wonder where that month has gone. So if there's anything you can prioritize in your life, let it be your Ramadan. What do you really absolutely have to say yes to do? And what is it that can wait until after Ramadan? And lastly, if you have kids, or you're married, have a spouse, or you're living with family, get them involved in ibadah as well. And start the process of delegating. Let's start changing our societies and communities so that young boys and young men don't feel that they need to be served to, but that they, like Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are part of that equation of helping prepare for iftar. So we have that as the wives, as the mothers, those superpowers in our homes to create those changes one small step at a time, so that we are not burned out as mothers spiritually, but that we're feeling fulfilled, we feel like we've done some of our reading, we're able to achieve and make this Ramadan a memorable one.
So many things that you said right now, Rehana, resonate, because I've got young kids as well, and you've got them to a point where you want to try and get them to fast. But you also want to not, like you mentioned, you don't want to be the mother who, you know, puts cotton wool around your children because they were fasting, and they can't pick up plates, or they can't help at iftar, or they can't set a table, you know? And we've got to make every single thing that they want to eat on every single day. I think we're creating little monsters as they get. I'll be quite strong about this point, because as kids get older, they become so used to the fact that supermom here is going to do it anyway. Even if we teenagers, we fasting, shame, you know, mom's going to make whatever we want. And I want to push that point because we'll speak later on, Rehana, we mentioned we want to talk about the issue of burnout. But I think this point is the point where we reach burnout as mothers, because we've got four children or three children, different ages. Some are fasting, some are not. Some want lunch, some don't want certain savories or whatever it is we're preparing. And then we are broken into so many pieces in Ramadan that our spiritual self literally suffers because we are tired, we are exhausted, we're at times even angry. Because it's Adhan is going and you've literally pulled the oil off the side of the stove and you're trying to rush your kids into, because not because you really want to eat this, because you probably don't even have a bite of it, but because your children need this and they absolutely have to have this. So it's
because
the point
that
yes,
that narrative, right?
Absolutely,
we've created that
yes,
narrative that
yes,
somehow to be a good Muslim housewife or mother or wife, you should be having these things, because if you don't, then what type of Ramadan will your family have?
And this is a very South African
concept. Are we going to suffer if we have these? Because clearly my son doesn't. He's playing cricket, he's doing karate, he's in college, his life's carrying on. So when we associate that lack of certain foods and we take it from being cultural and try and make it sunan or fard upon ourselves and bring that taklif on ourselves and on our families, then we live with that resentment and then we become bitter, and then there's no nurturing, there's no love in that food we're serving. Like you said, you're pulling the oil off moments as the adhan or siren is going. So what's the narrative we're putting out for our young girls who are growing, that to be a good wife and be a good mother, you need to have this on your table?
And there's a power in sitting together just before iftar, as opposed to being in front of the stove. But there's a power in sitting together as a family just before iftar, from 2-year-olds to 20-year-olds, it doesn't matter. But if you have that in your family where 10 minutes before iftar, everybody has to be at the table, not putting food into their plate, but rather just quiet, you know. And I think the idea sometimes is if there's younger kids, maybe reading a Fadail Amal, a story, something of that nature, and then giving a few minutes for iftar, just before iftar, for making dua. It's such an amazing thing that children just, they draw towards it every single day. And so I think that should be our focus coming into a healthy Ramadan, is that it's not about just about the food in front of us, but it's about the food, the mindset, the way we move forward and the way we prepare our minds for the next few days in terms of, and maybe, you know, this is the first Ramadan, your kids may be, you may say to them, you know what, we're doing things a bit differently this year. I will not be making everyone's favorite food every day. We will choose a day on which you will have it. And so mom will have some time to, and you start this idea of ibadah just before iftar. I think there will be a move in your house, a little bit uncomfortable, but certainly a move towards good as you see the Ramadan go a lot more smoothly, and you don't feel so burnt out as a woman.
Yes. And I think as women, we need to also move with that narrative. We feel that everyone's wanting this or they're expecting this of that from us. But like you said so beautifully, whatever we're giving back to them, whatever we're providing to them, whatever we're saying and doing, that's the narrative that they're picking up from us, that mom will do anything, make anything I ask for. And mom's making 10,000 things in the kitchen, and then she feels as though that Ramadan was all about just food. So for us as wives and mothers to stop being that sacrificial lamb and to create that balance. So it's not that we don't care for our families or we don't feed them or nurture them, but that time, like you said, should be that time of ibadah together as a family. Those are the memories we want to remember. As much as my mom's food is amazing, I remember, for me, if I close my eyes now, I picture her hands in dua. I picture her on her tasbih. That's what I think of at iftar, more than any of the amazing things she makes, because that's what stands out, and that's how we create a Ramadan that matters, and a Ramadan that's different. So it goes beyond just what we're eating. Yeah,
absolutely. Sister Sakina, coming in on this concept, because we're talking about mindsets really and shifting mindsets this Ramadan, inshallah. As someone who has had a journey with weight loss, as someone who has had a journey with health, I would love to know, you know, what is the process? I mean, we all... We may not be able to get through the process of a total mindset this Ramadan, but it's a start. Like you said at the beginning of the program, Ramadan is a wonderful way to detox and to move your body forward from a physical perspective in terms of the choices we make. But I want to ask you, from a mindset perspective, how did you start and where did you, how did you get the the push, you know, to carry on and carry on your journey in terms of health?
Sister Faiza, actually with me, I was a very morbidly obese mother of three little kids. I was unable to walk. I really had challenges. I sat the whole day at my sofa. I couldn't drive and sit in front of a car seat. I actually couldn't fly as well because I couldn't sit on a plane seat. And I had to make a choice of changing my lifestyle with just by changing my eating habits. And at the same time, what I was doing is that I was teaching my kids to eat the way I eat. I mean, I used to bake like five times a day. I prepared like absolutely luxurious. I'm a great cook and I love cooking. And I felt by cooking, I would be rewarding my husband, my kids, and cooking was everything in my home. And I entertained a lot as well. So I had to make a choice, is that just as how I love cooking and I ate myself to obesity with my cooking, I had to reverse it. And what I actually started is that I started to tweak my meals. And it took years. It actually wasn't just like my first Ramadan, for instance. It took years to actually wean my kids off the savories, to wean myself out of it. I mean, the first year I would find an alternative. I would probably bake my samosas or brush a little oil and stuff like that. So over the years, I mean, as your body gets attracted to the good nutrients and you start to eat more wholesome types of foods and stuff like that, eventually you realize, but no, this is not good for me anymore. I don't need this. I'd rather eat a proper meal and probably start my iftar on a glass of water and maybe do a rich soup with lots of vegetables and then do a protein and salad, a nutritional salad and stuff like that. So that's how we actually started to change our home. And my kids actually saw me eating like that. And initially I used to cook separate for them. And I remember one day my husband says, you know what, what's good for you is good for our children. Mm-hmm. And the thing was that I used to look forward to eating my meal at iftar, and my three kids would come in and put their finger into my plate and they wanted to eat what I was eating. And then eventually, I mean, you know, you being a fasting person, you're fasting the whole day and you're looking forward to this meal. And it's just portion control for myself, and I don't share my meal. So I had no choice but now, right, to cook for everybody the same. And it took some time for me to actually get my kids to understand. I mean, now they're much older. I mean, this was like 7 years ago, and they're much older. They understand about nutrition. They've seen mommy in her worst health. They've seen what I've been through, and the thing is that they understand. And I mean, the thing is that as a mother to your kids, I mean, we reward our kids with food, with bad food. I mean, you think that, you know, taking your child to a restaurant and get them french fries and burgers, and that's like, you know, a way of rewarding our kids, or buying them chocolates and chips and stuff. Like, no, actually, you're doing a disfavor to your child. I mean, you need to understand that if you love your kids, you're going to give them the best of food, the food that will nourish them. I mean, you want good, healthy kids. And you look at, some of our kids, I mean, you know, kids like 10 years old, they like have, they overweight. So, I mean, boys, I mean, because of the hormone injections in our animals and we're eating too much processed types of foods and stuff like that, our little boys got like man boobs. I mean, that's not natural to see. And we need to think, you know, do I want my kids looking like that?
Absolutely.
And the thing is that, you know what, to a lot of people eating healthy in Ramadan, they look at you and they think, you know what, there's something wrong with it. It's not a norm. And, oh, no, we must have pies, or we must have samosas. And you could question their health status. I mean, a lot of them are not well. And that makes you understand why, because the food that we eat, and we are what we eat. And that's the thing, is that I always put this in front of me. Every time if I want to do something bad, I don't go off track. I'm human. I mean, I do eat bad at times.
Absolutely.
I do a lot of times, right? The thing is that I always look back to where I was, and I was in the worst state of my life, and I don't want to go back there. And I wouldn't, I mean, a lot of people would resonate with me and would understand the feeling of being a beast, the feeling of not able to play with your kids in the park, the feeling of not able to do things that every other normal lady would do. I mean, I would go out in public and people would look at me and call me names. And I didn't want that. And I became angry with myself. I lost my confidence. And every time I want to eat something bad, I would look back and I would say to myself, I don't want to go there. I don't want to be in that place.
So that's right? where the mindset issue comes from.
And also it's very important. I mean, you know, you get some sort of community support. Join a health club or join a group of ladies, maybe a wellness coach, somebody that will weigh you weekly, and somebody that will give you an eating plan to follow, somebody that will give you the support structure. When you join these forces, like maybe have some challenge partners, that actually helps you and keeps you on track. And take your kids along with you. I mean, your kids play a vital role because, I mean, your kids do everything that you do.
Absolutely.
And if you are positive, you eat healthy, your kids are going to eat healthy. If you don't bring the stuff in your house, your kids don't actually ask you to buy junk. You actually bring it in the house because you feel sorry for your kids. You want to reward them like that. So if you give your kids fruits and vegetables, give them the proteins, and you talk to your children, get them involved in the kitchen, let them do the salads. I mean, if a child prepares a salad, I promise you that child will eat that salad.
Because of the work they put in, certainly.
Yes.
That's a good point,
Yeah. Teach your child to make probably a fruit shake or something of that sort. Your child will eat what they have made.
That is a very good way of looking at things, absolutely.
That's what I did with my children. I always got them involved with it. I've got two young girls now. I get them involved in cooking. I think the other day my daughter told me, Mommy, I have to marry somebody that actually eats healthy because I don't think so we can eat unhealthy like others. I mean, we have our moments, like I said. But the thing is that you've got to get your children involved. It starts from a very early age. I mean, as a mother, stop all the cool rings. Stop giving them sugary things at iftar time. And you can cut up some fruits. You can put in the protein. And teach them to eat their veggies. I mean, you can make the veggies very attractive for them. And vegetables are so important in your diet because we need the fibers. I mean, you're giving your child a samosa or a pie to eat at iftar. I mean, you look at little kids, they don't eat anything else after that.
Absolutely.
Maybe do a little cream soup with them and to put lots of veggies inside there because you want them to be hydrated for the next day. You want them to have better energy for the next roza. So you've got to start with at iftar as well. You've got to be very careful what you put in your body at iftar.
Okay, so I'm going to have to wrap up now because I was meant to take a bit of a break earlier on in the program. So I'll be finished the program a bit earlier for the engineer to be able to play out his ads, etc. So I just want to get your last, 30-second view on going into this Ramadan from a healthy perspective and your advice to everyone that's listening. So just a short message going into the coming month of Ramadan.
All I have to say is, you know what, do it for yourself, do it for your health. It's your body, it's your health. You just need to decide what you want in life. I always say this to myself, I don't want to die miserable, I want to die healthy.
Jazakallah for your advice and for being part of this panel, alhamdulillah. Hafizah Rehana, a few seconds of your advice going into the month of Ramadan. We've just got a few seconds to go.
I think we need to know ourselves well. We need to know when we burn out beforehand because it's an accumulation of that stress. So know what leads to your stress. Get some rest. Leave the phone, stop scrolling, get some rest. Slowly into Ramadan. It's easy to just go on the first day, be reading lots of Quran, and the second day it's a burnout and boredom. So build up slowly, the process of gradualism. Keep asking Allah for strength and surround yourself with people who are positive about Ramadan and who want to create that change. At the end of the day, Ramadan is all about that. It's about creating the change that you need and that you want in your life. So make the most of it. Think of it as the best Ramadan that's going to come and the last one that's going to come. When you think of it like that, you put every ounce of energy. Say no where you need to for some things respectfully and focus on this being you nurturing yourself spiritually this Ramadan, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, it's been absolutely wonderful having this panel discussion with Sister Sakina as well as Hafizah Rehana. For those of you who have been listening to the program, program. You've heard about a minute of Sister of Zakira as well as Sumaya's clips on what it is they're going to be doing in the month of Ramadan. There's a few other female presenters who have prepared their minute in terms of what they will be looking at in the month of Ramadan. From myself, on New Horizons on a Wednesday, I'll be looking at the concept of self-care, moving on from this idea that we've talked about today, is looking at women and the self-care that you can engage in, also motivating our children towards good and inspiring them, and understanding your strength as a woman within the household. So look forward to that every Wednesday on Radio Islam International New Horizons. Until next time, from me, Sister Vaza Munshi, it's wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.